Congregation, please turn with me again to Psalm 63. Tonight we will consider mainly the second part. I want to read with you verse 8. My soul follows hard after thee, thy right hand upholds me. Boys and girls, tonight, the desert is a dangerous place. It is not dangerous per se because of the wild animals, but it is dangerous because of the heat and the sunlight. If you travel through the desert, you need to make sure you have water with you. And this morning we heard that a parched ground also can testify of a thirsty person. And if this thirst is not quenched, you will die. This is one of the reasons why animals stay often close to little brooks in the desert, or at the edge of the desert. But if you observe them, you will notice that they are not at ease. They would often drink with a huge amount of stress, because suddenly there can be a wild animal coming from behind or at other places from the water. And congregation, this can be one of the obstacles in our life as well. Maybe you have longed this morning for the living waters, but you feel there's an obstacle of fear, of stress, so that you cannot receive these living waters. Church time can be a time of restlessness when you enter the building with a filled mind, with concerns on your shoulders, worries. Jesus said that in the parable of the sower, it is the thorns and the thistles that point to the worries that grow together with the seed and prevent it from growing. So in our heart too, there can be an obstacle tonight. My desire is that the Lord will take that obstacle away as we look tonight at satisfaction in God, as we see how David feels himself secure in God's presence. You first of all consider sick of love, second, secured by God's presence, and thirdly, satisfied by God's care. First of all, sick of love. We will look again at the first verses. O God, thou art my God. Early I will seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. What David is doing here is he is longing for God himself, and his totality of his person is involved. This morning we looked mainly at his first. Now we will look at his longing here. His flesh longeth for God. Other translations translate it as fainting or yearning. Fainting means someone is really growing weak, using his last energy to do something. The word here points really to that reality of growing pale, of gray, of losing the color before collapsing. So desperate David is in his desire for God. And yearning points to something that is missing. David is missing God. That's the reason why he is praying. Commentators said it is not a small matter that David is able to predicate such languishing desire after God. Even of his flesh, it shows us that the Spirit has the mastery within him, and he keeps forcibly the flesh in subjection. You see, this is what we are called to do. Not to allow our affections to drift away from Christ, from God. But also not our minds. We need to take hold of our thoughts, as David did with his bodily needs. He held them in subjection in order to pray. Like the greater David in the desert, who was tempted, who held his desires, his bodily desires, in subjection in order to be obedient to the will of the Father and to the Word. David is longing after God. But it's more than just longing, it is love language. He is longing after a person. Here fits more the language of the Song of Songs, where the bridegroom comes to the door and says, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night." She responds, "I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them?" The slowliness of heart of the bride is pictured there in response to the knocking and the love of the bridegroom. And then she goes outside and she says, "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love." This is more than our minds. This is our affection. Some of you maybe remember the time of dating when you're married. The time of dating, you long to be together. An intense longing. Also meet this longing in widows and widowers. It began with love and it ends in heartbreak. And then there's the pain, the absence of the other person. You want nothing else than to be united again. In some instances, the Lord provides again in a support at the other side. But we need to keep in mind that these earthly relationships, how great they can be as a resemblance of this heavenly relationship between Christ and his bride, it should never replace it. Don't expect from your marriage what only God can give vertically. Only God can satisfy our deepest longings. That's why David is praying. That's why David is sick of love. That's why David said, "Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy love, thy kindness, thy faithfulness." Are you sick of love? You see, it's a danger, it's a privilege to have freedom of faith, to come to church, to live out the Christian life. But it's also danger that we get used to it in such a way that our affections grow dull and slow. But David holds before us, the Holy Spirit holds before us a mirror tonight. This is how our desires ought to be. And sometimes the Lord especially provokes those desires by showing us how desert-like this world is. Sometimes through sickness, through illness, when we feel our life is collapsing, breaking down, the Lord is telling you, only I can be the one who can fill your heart's desire. We often yearn like this in earthly relationships. But God is meant to take this place. God is willing to feed us with himself. This morning we looked at the marrow and fatness that God is willing to give. Spurgeon says there is a love in God, a richness, a fullness of soul-filling joy comparable to the richest food with which the body can be nourished. God is willing to fill us with spiritual food, with himself, with his promises. But maybe you wonder how David can be so secure. How can he pray like this in the midst of difficulty and danger? How is he able to do this? Well, we will see, secondly, that he can do this because of his being secured by God's presence. Let's look at verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. David is praying and rejoicing and refreshing himself in God's presence, because that presence of God gives him the certainty and the security. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. How can David do this? It is because here opens up for us a great picture of intimacy. David says, I am in the shadow of thy wings. God is not a distant God. God is very close, very near to him. Like a mother bird is spreading their wings over their chicks, so God is spreading his wings over David. What a beauty. What a grace. What a mercy. God spreading out his wings over us, rebellious covenant breakers. God is willing to give his care to you. Like David. David is under God's wings. God is present for David in the desert. God is present to David as a protector. It reminds us of Ruth, where Boaz said, the Lord recompense thy work and thy full reward be given to thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Spurgeon says, a weary place and a weary heart make the presence of God more desirable. If there be nothing below and nothing within to cheer, it is 1,000 mercies that we may look up and find all we need. Do you see these wings tonight? Are you under his wings? The wings of his mercy. How miserable our lives can be. Spurgeon says there can be thousands of reasons, 1,000 mercies that ought to bring us into a mode of praising. David is secure under God's wings. But here it says, I remember thee upon my bed. It's hard to see where the when is pointing to the praising before or what happens afterwards. But the point is, David says, when I remember thee upon my bed, as I remember thee upon my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches. It's like a second stanza of Psalm 63. David was uttering his desire, his thirst, his longing for God, and now he tells us that he is remembering God and meditating on God in the night watches. Even in the night, I remember thee and meditate upon thee. We heard this morning that this is a psalm which refers to that word of the dawn, that earliest moment before the sunlight breaks through the sky, that indirect sunlight shatters the darkness. That is referring to the morning, first of all, to the earnest longing of David, but secondly, it really suggests that David was up early in the morning. But now he says, even at night, I'm still thinking about thee. I am still remembering thee. I'm still meditating about thee upon my bed. What does it mean? I remember thee means carefully thinking about God. That means you actively take your thoughts, you point them to God, and you begin to think about who God is, what He has done. And He does so in the night. Well, boys and girls, if you want to have a beautiful view of the stars, and you have a telescope, you need to go outside. And the best thing is when it's very dark, because then you see the most beauty. So as well in our lives, in the darkness of the night, in the darkness of our wilderness experiences, we get the best views of God's greatness, of God's mercy. When all the lights, all the artificial lights of this world grow dim, we the more can behold the beauty of God. David is remembering God. He's meditating upon God. Meditate means he's pondering. He's giving serious thought and consideration to God. He's not worrying. He's not freaking out because of the dangers surrounding him. There's Absalom chasing after him. It could have been his last day, but David uses the time in the night to think about God. Nothing can be a better occupation than thinking about God in the night. Someone said, the solitude and stillness render the night watches as a fit season for meditation on the so often experienced mercies of God, which when thus called to remembrance, become a delicious repast to the spirit, filling it with all joy and peace and consolation. What do you do in your bed when you can't sleep? Are you worrying? Looking at your alarm, waiting the morning to come? Tonight you are called to remember God, to think about God, to meditate upon Him and on His help. It could be helpful to maintain a diary and to write down the ways how God is caring for you, how He is providing for you in your daily work, and then meditate on these things in the night. But the object of David's meditation is God's help. Because thou hast been my help. Thou hast been my help, not just in this relieving David from his sin, in the sanctuary when beholding at the beauty and the wonder of God's might and gospel power, but also very practical. God had provided for David day by day by day by day. We are people who tend to forget. We tend to forget God's help in all our needs. Don't forget those things. Use the nights when you can't sleep to think about God, to meditate upon Him, upon his help, how he is provided in health, how he has helped you through the difficulties and the dangerous path. This is a God, a shepherd, who provides a table for us in the face of the enemies. This is a God who is worthy to be meditated upon. And it's just not meditation. It's also communion. When I can sleep, I put often on a sermon, which helps me. Better to fall asleep with a sermon than to worry. But there are various ways in which you can use the night when you can't sleep to focus your thoughts upon God. David is calling us tonight to use these moments to focus on the Lord. Nothing can be more proper than that our last thoughts, as we sink into the quiet slumber, should be of God, of his being, his character, his mercy, his loving kindness, of the dealings of his providence, and the manifestation of his grace toward us during the day, as one saint said. When we look at the saints of old, don't you feel and sense the heat of their devotion to God? How they longed for God? How they used meditation in the night to rethink the sermons, the word that the Lord has brought to them? I'm afraid that we are losing this art of meditation, that we are filling our evenings with screens, with busyness. Now there should be a time of coming back to the Lord, to think about him. You know, meditation, really the word here means muttering, speaking to oneself. It's a picture of a lion who is searching for a prey, and he cannot be distracted because his mind is on that prey. In such a way, our mind should be occupied with God. And if it's something else, it's an idol. If God is not the first one in our lives, we are called to meditate upon him in the night watches. Well, David had business to do. He had to watch in the night. There was danger. That's why it's called night watches. There was a watch who was looking around and seeing if there was an enemy, a danger. In the Jewish culture, there was a night of three night watches. But what is David doing? He is thinking about God through these night watches. It's a picture of slowness, of time. So we are called to meditate tonight. And we will sing about that in Psalter 7, stanzas 1 and 2. Congregation, we are considering the theme satisfaction in God. We have seen David's love toward God. He's being sick of love, but also secured by God's presence. He can shelter underneath God's wings, the wings of God's mercy, the wings of God's protection. Now we'll see that David is also satisfied by God's care. Let's read verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. David is exclaiming his inward desire and what is going on here in this passage. Now his soul has not just received of this living waters. His body has been fed, so to say. David now is longing for intimacy. God is near. But David wants more. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. It's hard to picture. His soul, his inward man, is following hard after thee. It is as if God is leaving and David doesn't want God to go. Well, at the same moment, God is holding David firm in his hands. It's a picture of reciprocal love. It's mutual, it's both ways. God is giving his word to David, his promises. David is praying to the Lord, and now in this covenant relationship, there's intimacy that goes beyond words. That's why it is so hard to explain. David, as someone said, depends upon God, following close behind him, following him everywhere and not leaving him. And when he, capital H, wishes to avoid him, leaving him on the other side, God's right hand, to hold him fast, not letting him go, not abandoning him to his foes. He is God's hand on the life of David, not letting David go. We shouldn't think it's all us. Our actions ought to be a response to God's love. He is the initiator. He is the first one. But because he has loved us, we ought to love him and to pursue him. We should never be satisfied with a beginning love and a beginning knowledge, but we should pursue for more, to grow in intimacy as we grow in intimacy in our marriages. We ought to more grow in intimacy in our personal devotional life with the Lord. My soul is following hard after thee. And God's right hand, his hand of strength, is upholding David. What a picture. Do you sense this hand underneath your life? Not just God's sheltering wings, protection and nearness. Do you sense that his hand is upon you? When God is working in the quietness, in the dew of the morning, shattering his light into your soul, upholding your breath, allowing you to go to church again and again and again, protecting you on the roads, giving babies to families and allowing them to grow up as children, as blessings. Do you sense God's hand of his providence, David senses it, and it causes him to long for God more. The Apostle Paul said, "Not that I have reached or completed the race, but I chased after, I stretched myself. And that all because there's a mark, there's a one who has loved him first. There's a one seated upon the throne and assisting him and giving him the strength to run. It is God himself who allows us and enables us to pursue him. And how lovely it is." It also speaks of the greater David. The greater David, the servant of the Lord, whom God the Father did upheld the whole time. "This is my servant whom I love, whom I uphold." God was giving strength to the Son to enable him to be tempted in the desert, in the wilderness. Not just of Matthew 4, but in all challenging situations, God was giving Christ the strength so that Christ could conquer till the very end, walk the race, run the race, obeying the will of the Father, till in his passive obedience he suffered and died on our behalf. There's one way in which we can also speak about satisfaction. That is, God's wrath had to be satisfied. God's righteous anger against sin and the sinner was in need of being satisfied. And here Christ came, the scapegoat, was brought out of the camp to suffer, to die. It is Christ who had to satisfy the righteous and just anger of the Father against a sinful world. Do you see how much this costed God? It is as if we are standing again in Genesis 22, where Abraham is looking at his beloved son, and God says, "No, Abraham, no. Don't kill him. I've provided in a ram. I will satisfy my wrath in another way. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they should return and repent and believe." Tonight, God has no pleasure in your condemnation. God calls you to repent and turn to him. If you are outside these living waters, outside these sheltering wings, you are in a dangerous place. And God is calling you, "Turn to me." The psalm really ends with a serious warning. In verse 9, "But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion of for foxes." You see, this is the enemy of the king, the enemy of the King David. They were seeking to destroy David. But David knew that while he was being chased by people, he was being pursued by God and by God's love and by God's protection and by God's care. But these people, these enemies, David is confident that God will do with them what ought to be done. They shall go down into the lower parts. They will die. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. That's really these animals, the wild animals in the desert, these jackals, they would normally come to wounded soldiers, dying soldiers, and eat them. A picture of dishonor. And David said, that will happen to my enemy. And it's true, the Lord delivered David from his enemy, and they died a terrible death. But there's also a warning. You see what happened with our Lord Jesus Christ. He was killed. He died a terrible death in order to gain that victory meritoriously on our behalf, to suffer and die in our place. But those who are outside the covering of this sufficient sacrifice of Christ, those who are outside, they will face a terrible death. If you are not under this king, you are in a terrific place tonight. Just one breath, one last breath, and it's too late. Psalm 2 takes these words, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath, his righteous wrath, is kindled but a little. Life is not a game. Life is a preparation for eternity. And today, it's the day of grace. God is reaching out to you again and again, and tonight is offering you his Son, the perfect sacrifice of his Son, like the scapegoat in Leviticus 16, who went outside the camp, burdened by the sin of the people, the sins were imputed to this scapegoat. And he suffered and died, and so the Lord Jesus Christ presented to us tonight as the one who entered death on our behalf. But you need to believe in him. You need to turn to him. If you say with your mouth, I have enough in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but practically you are living with your spectacles, with your binocular on this world, you are not honest. It needs to be visible in our lives that we do really trust the Lord. We are called to kiss the Son, lest he be angry. But Psalm 2 ends with, blessed are all they that put their trust in him, in this King. And our psalm says in verse 11, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. There's no greater joy as the joy of this king, the King David, and no greater joy than the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the greater king. And here it says, everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, which really means not boasting in David. That was prohibited, to boast in the king. This is about boasting in the king with a capital K. Whoever boasts in God tonight shall glory. Boasting in God means saying, the Lord alone is my source of security, my only hope in life and death, that I belong to him. That is swearing by God, boasting in him. Can you take this tonight on your lips? Bring it to your hearts. That takes time. It's not just listening in church to a sermon, but meditation is God's given means to chew on sermons so that they would go down from your mind to your heart. so that it will transform your life and your life will be glorifying God. Well, David is rejoicing. He is confident under God's care. He's confident that the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. David is safe underneath God's wings. So we see tonight the doom of the wicked and the blessed portion of those who boast in the Lord. Congregation, this world is nothing less than a dry desert. Nothing less than a dry desert. No money, no relationships, no career, no health can satisfy your heart. And it's meant to be so because only God can satisfy your longings. And you're blessed when you feel your emptiness tonight, because God is more willing to fill your emptiness with Himself than you are longing for Him. Boys and girls, I came across a picture, a video actually, of a deer drinking water in a crocodile-free zone. No crocodiles around, and this deer was calmly drinking without rest till he was full. And that's not typical, because most of the times they just get a little bit because of the fear. It's a beautiful picture of someone being satisfied, feeling secure. Congregation, this is my desire for you. That you will be secure under God's wings tonight. Not just tonight, but every day of your life, till your very last breath. Because God is unchanging in His promises. He offers Himself as someone who is almost modelly like a bird, spreading out His wings, knowing His hand under your lives, His wings protecting you. Oh, that David's song would become our song. And that's hard. It takes meditation. It takes prayer. Maybe just write the first verses down and memorize them. Even if you do not feel spiritual, to read them, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a land dry and thirsty, where no water is. Oh, that we keep drinking till we pass from desert ground to the glorious city, where there's living waters forevermore, where there are no tears, no dangers, no heat, and that we will eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. My only call to you is pursue Him. Hide under His wings, and you will be safe and be satisfied. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, Thou art knocking tonight on the door of our heart, like Thou were knocking on the door of that church that was lukewarm. Thou longest to enter, to have communion with us. And thou provokest our desires by sometimes leaving us, like thou didst, O Lord Jesus Christ, on the Emmaus road. Thou didst as if thou were leaving, so that the man said, oh, stay with me. Do not leave us. Abide with us as the night falls. So, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst not leave us according to thy promise. Forgive us for leaving thee time and time again. When we seek for broken cisterns in this world, when we count this desert land as a glorious land of entertainment, of pleasure, forgive us, Lord. Help us to move onward like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, with his head and his mind focused on Zion, the glorious city. Oh Lord, it's for thy mercy and thy grace alone, thy upholding hand, thy strong and right hand, who will keep thy people. Our marriages seem to begin with love and end with heartbreak. But our relationships with thee began with heartbreak, but will end in everlasting love. O Lord, may we pursue hard after thee. We pray this for the congregation in the time to come. O family prong, sustain them. Shelter them with thy wings. Refresh them in thy presence. Be with each and every one, Lord. We thank thee. Sometimes we think we are people who can do a lot of things. But you said, without me, thou canst do nothing. O Lord, bring these realities not just to our mind, but to our hearts. Be with us, Lord, as we enter this week. Bless our endeavors. Help us to be shining lights and salt in the working place or in the kitchen when we are at home. Lord, we thank thee for Psalm 63. Bring this psalm, Lord, into reality in our lives. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, let us close by singing Psalter 302, followed by the doxology. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.